What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Okay, let's go.
That was okay, whatever. I waited for it. And I was like, he's doing the gone in 60 seconds. Again. The Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globe trotting, head shotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
I'm revved up. I'm ready to go, Greg.
Good.
Two Monster Energy drinks.
He's ready to go.
I
don't know. He's definitely not. How many? Those are two right now. But how many have you had throughout the day already?
Oh, well, I had a Frappuccino in the morning. Is Frappuccino short for frozen cappuccino? We'll never know.
I think it is. I think it's absolutely short for that.
Yeah, you're the. He's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Gettys.
I'm already loving the energy to this episode. We got a banger on our hands. Let's get right into it.
Well, that's the thing. Of course, you know, we bring a guest in each and every week on the Kinda Funny podcast. Today, it is none other than star of stage and screen, Jerry O'Connell. Hello, yeah. Jerry.
What an honor to be here, everyone. Greg, Nick, the engaged one, Andy. So exciting to be here. Really, truly. I mean, I do want to say... I don't want to bum everyone out, but I am a recovering gamer. I am in recovery. I gamed quite a bit. I quit about 8 years ago.
Wow.
I was a Call of Duty gamer.
Oh my God.
See,
Jerry, let Nick and Andy bring you back into the fold with Warzone.
Now, Nick, Andy, I mean, I want to say I was a member of a clan.
Okay.
I was in a clan.
Oh my God, you were in.
And we played every night from a lot of us. I'm older, I'm in my 40s, and a lot of us were married with children. And we would wait till our families went to sleep at around 10:30, 11. And then that's when it went down. That's when our clan woke up. And we would play every night till about 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it affected everything. My wife at one point, I was yelling, we loved Capture the Flag. That was our clan special.
That was the jam.
We were ranked. We were internationally ranked, our clan. And
I like how you say yelling, it with such reverence, our clan.
Right.
Like you can't.
I think around 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m., I had very young children at the time, and my wife probably had to be up early too. And at about 2 a.m., I was in the living room in my underwear standing. I love to stand. I do this. I don't know if you can see this.
Me but too. I'm right there with you, Jerry.
Power stance right there.
Like
right there
with spread,
you. Yeah.
And I'm right here. Like, this is it. I mean, I don't game anymore, so I can say this. I did have a modified joystick. Ordered one. I
found come on. You're cheating? Come on now. You're using performance enhancers out there, Jerry?
I was cheating. My game was I would have two handguns with a modified joystick, and it would just be like, and then a lot of people I was against would accuse me of cheating. But at about 2 a.m., I was standing like this, and I was yelling in my living room. I was yelling, I've got B! Hey, don't worry, I've got B! I've got B! I've got B! referring to the flag B,
absolutely.
I had a theory in our clan, and we did very well that B, if you held B the entire game,
the game's all about
you
B.
Won Capture the Flag. I believe that Capture the Flag is all about B. That's my belief.
Okay.
Now, so you didn't have any other call outs, you just had B.
That's
knew,
all I did.
You need to go with that.
The joke was when we would meet in person. People would say like, I got B, like across the bar. That was like, my thing. That was our clan's joke.
Wait, what was your clan name? What was the clan's name?
Clan name.
Cause right now Andy and I are part of two clans right now. We're part of the Squid Squad. What up? Represent.
Yeah. Squid Squad. Squid I like squad. That.
And then when I play with my Italian friends, we're part of the Calzone.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Mm-hmm. What was our clan name? I'm just trying to make sure it's not going to offend anyone. You know what? It was. Let me check. With
it was a different time. You know what?
We could not touch on that. But I will say this, just to touch a little bit on the notion of potentially cheating. You'll be happy to know that nobody cheats in Warzone or Call of Duty ever now. So that's something they've completely really gotten out of the game. Super clean.
They have not. No. None of this is true. Not.
Yeah.
Nothing what they're saying is true.
Very
now,
prevalent.
Now, Jerry's saying that you retired or that you're recovering.
Well, that
as
no,
a former
I want to hear the story because it sounds like at 2:30 in the morning he's screaming, "I've got B," and his wife retires him.
I've got B, and my wife got up. I love my wife. She's a famous movie star, Rebecca Romijn. Look her up. In X-Men.
Heard of her.
Big time. Way out of my league. Infinitely out of my league. Not even in my league. Like, completely different league. I mean, it's like playing, it would be like our clan playing like a group of five people that, you know, the servers just put together and you just annihilate them. We're not even in the same league. Took my Xbox One, took it, shook it out of its HDMI. And picked it up and walked to the front door and threw it out.
Wow.
Threw it out the front door. And turned to me and said, You have a problem. You have a problem. And I gotta say, it was really affecting my work because you play till 3 a.m., you're messed up for the rest. The next day you're messed up. You're a zombie. I wouldn't get to sleep until 5 a.m. because you're just thinking like, ah, oh, I gotta get B. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe I should have had a frag out. And then you're dreaming. And then you're dreaming of like,
oh, yeah.
I would always have dreams that people would drop frags when they like died next to me. And I'd hear it and I'd be like, oh, God, frag out. And it affected. And I got to say, much like a narcotic. I had to stop and I miss it terribly. And it's so funny, during the pandemic, I did plug it back in and I got the new Call of Duty. Is it the new Black Ops?
Yeah,
Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you played Warzone yet?
Cold War. I have not played Warzone yet.
So I don't want, at the risk of enabling.
Yeah, we don't want to be enablers.
We don't want to be enablers.
Nick, you do not want to get on the bad side of Rebecca Romijn.
First off, I have no doubt that Rebecca will come to my house and shake the shit out of my PlayStation 5 and throw it out the window too, which my wife would love.
You got him back on that shit, Greg.
I'm just going to throw it out there. We play almost every night when Andy's not playing Valorant. And we also play on our streams on Monday. Now, here's the difference between now and 8 years ago, though. 8 years ago, it was just an addiction that was sad and you needed help. Now, it's a sad addiction that you can actually make money off of, and it can help propel your day job into the night. So
this time, I'm diversifying. I'm reaching the kids. I'm on Twitch.
No.
Yeah.
I know. I do have to just say, it really, if you... And I do have other things that I'm very obsessive about. You know, I have an obsessive mind, which makes me play. And listen, the saddest moment is when you look at total hours played. And
I don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Jerry,
and you think I could have learned to play the cello. Like, I could have done so much with the 4 years that I played Warzone. And I hate that they use months in that time frame, too. It can't just be hours. They have to be like...
It can't just be hours.
7 months, you've played this game for a total of 7 months,
a
4 days.
Year of your life. No. it's fun, though. You got to have something,
it's so
right?
It's so fun. You know what it is? There's so few things. Here's what's so great about it. There's nothing in life, not even driving, where you can just sit back and just zone out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess watching shows, but honestly, it's not as exciting as shows. I've had a lot of trouble watching movies or anything since then. You know, I did, I did pop in a Black Ops and I played the, what's the technical term for it?
Just the single player campaign.
I played the campaign and that's sort of like watching a movie and all that stuff. And I was sort of into that, but it really has changed how I view everything. And I'll be back someday. You know, I mean, it's also, I mean, I got to say, also, I don't want to bum you guys out, but the reason why I'm doing our show here in this park is because at my house.
Wait, yeah, hold on. That's the thing I do need to bring up. I do. I was going to get there on my own, Jerry, but if you're going to bring it up, if you're an audio listener, Jerry O'Connell, famous actor, is just in, in a park in a tank top podcasting. Yeah.
You look great, by the way. You look. This is a great look you got going on.
It's a great look, yeah.
Yeah, this is
this looks and sounds better than guests we've had with like professional setups.
It's
somehow,
true.
You in this random ass park.
I'm gonna tell you. So I have. Oh, what was your guess? I'm so sorry. Who said that? Nick? Was it? Tim?
Your guess for where you were?
Oh no!
Yeah. No. Who wanted to guess why I was in this park?
Oh no!
I have no earthly idea. I thought maybe you're guessing just because you were chopping wood. I don't know.
So I have two children who are 12 years old, and. Not really gamers. They did play Among Us. They're super over that. They're big.
Me too.
They're big Roblox fans.
Sure.
That's some racket because every like 3 days they ask me for Robux, which I have to purchase for them.
Yep.
It's so okay. I asked him for Call of Duty points. Game,
whoever designed, yeah, I know, but Call of Duty points are real, tangible.
Oh, God. My shit's real.
My shit makes a difference.
But I'm getting something with a Call of Duty point.
Call of Duty is real life, bro. But things are fake.
Jerry, step into the fucking zone with us, man. Hot drop with us on Monday. Let's go. Dude, yeah.
I'm telling you, Jerry, I love Greg's idea of, okay, by day you're this famous actor. By night, you need to start a Twitch channel. I already got the name, twitch.tv/plan B. You just go, you always go for B, baby. Yeah. Plan B.
Oh,
I got wow. B.
I got B. That's what it's got to be. I got B.
Are you guys going to look down on me if I use my modified joysticks?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, let me stop you right there because I have a confession to make now that we're best friends. God. Is that I play on PlayStation 5 with a mouse and keyboard, and my mouse is inverted. I play inverted.
Now, does that make you more? That's more of a challenge, right?
No, it's just I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, and when games went to 3D, I played a lot of flight simulators. And then when they went to shooters and like 3D, like actual 3D shooters, I just said, this feels right to me. And I never changed it. And if I had known back then that my coworkers would make this much fun of me because of it, I would have just stopped playing video games altogether.
Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely an issue that we need to. Yeah. We bring it up with every guest so that they can sort of ridicule him for it.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, if you want
to,
just tear into him.
You know what I mean? It's like if you found out that you were driving on the wrong side of the road, you'd want to change that. But Nick embraces it for some reason.
I just go to a different country where they drive on that side of the road. That's what I do.
Right.
Okay, but in this scenario.
Is it just me or is playing inverted more of a challenge?
I mean, I think you just get used to it and it becomes it. For me, it's normal. For me, I can't.
Right.
Up is up and down is down is just some fucking is crazy to me.
That's, I feel like I'm watching some kind of backroom political deal where Jerry's gonna be like inverted, that's fine, and he wants Nick to be like, well, joysticks all the bottom.
No,
line,
I mean, whatever,
too.
However you want to play is how you want to play, man. However you want to drop into the zone with us next Monday.
I mean, like if you play golf, golf clubs used to be what they call blades, which were just basically like very thin pieces of metal, and really no one plays with blades anymore because now they play with like carbon. Bigger clubs. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but
Andy does. It's fine.
I do. It's okay.
All right. So Andy, you know what I'm talking about. Blades, right? If you have a set of blades, you're considered old school.
Cool.
But if you're able to hit with them, it's like having like a special old school talent. It's like knowing how
I'll tell you what.
You've sold me. You've sold me on this. It makes me better than these guys because I play inverted. Is what you're saying.
I mean, I would never. When I'm setting my settings, I would never pick inverted. It's like I couldn't even think that way. I would be like having to learn how to hit lefty. I would just is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Using the blades thing, it's like in high school baseball, everybody has to use aluminum bats. But then the couple cool kids would use wooden bats. You'd be like, I don't even know. Whoa, that's crazy.
So I'm kind of impressed. I'm kind of impressed.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry.
I mean, thank you. A talent that's like dying, and I think these kids need to hear about it.
Just like Nick.
True. A talent that's dying.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where I've thought about trying to force myself to play non-inverted. I'm not going to say it's normal. I'll say non-inverted, right? But it's it's so difficult that I think the only way I'll ever not play inverted is if game publishers stop putting that option in the options. Until that day comes, Tim, you're going to have to pry this controller, my inverted mouse, out of my cold, dead hand. Look, Tim,
Jerry,
it's upside down.
I don't want to go too deep into this story, but it is worth it, I promise you. There's this big video game convention called E3 that we go to every year, where they announce all the new games. We get to play them a little early.
Are you
going to
tell the Tony Hawk story? Are you telling about
Tony
Hawk?
Okay. No.
Don't tell them that I pissed off Tony Hawk.
So... Nick, out of all of us, was the least gamer of all of us. And he rarely goes to these game preview events. But there was one time we had to send him to one. So we sent him to play this game called The Crew, which is a racing game. Like, you're racing cars, all right, in this game. And when Nick shows up, he asks the developers of this game, before I can get into this, can I invert the controls? And they're just like, no. Nick thought it was a shooting game. Nick thought it was like Call of Duty. The reason he thought that
I thought it was like Grand Theft Auto, where like you have a crew that goes in, rob stuff, and then it goes into the cars.
It sounds like it could be like an offshoot of Hitman. Remember that amazing game?
Yeah. I mean, they're still making those bad boys. But to be fair, now I think back on that and I'm like, well, you know, if it's a car game, Tim, you do pull back on the stick to like adjust where you're going this way. So I wasn't wrong. The guy ended up doing it. But what he said to me, and I'll never forget this, was he was like, well, I guess there's one part where you fly a plane. So sure, I guess I'll invert the controls for you. And I was like, that's so insulting to me. I'm like, do you not fucking know I work with Greg Miller? Do you know I work with Greg Miller? Why is Jerry in a field?
Okay. So let me tell you. So I have two children who play Roblox nonstop, who listen to the app formerly known as Musical.ly, aka TikTok.
Yeah, sure.
And they just suck up all bandwidth, all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is like the afternoon. I don't have to tell you guys, this is like when bandwidth, you know, gets a little like shaky, whoever is holding the button, you know. So if I have an important interview to do, and I do consider this the most important thing I've done in 2021.
Wow. Thank you.
Huge.
I come directly under a 5G tower. I can feel the COVID hitting me as we speak.
Yeah.
It's just zapping me right now. I mean, legit right under it. And
if you touch the tower, it's better than Pfizer. It's better than the Pfizer shot.
This is where I get my best reception. And I knew, you know, you're a very like sort of techie podcast. I didn't want to be like
no, great call. So, great call.
Perfect.
This is why I'm here.
It's so is it a public park or is this on your estate?
This is a public park. This is no idea what's gonna happen.
Somebody's walking their dog like, is that fucking Jerry O'Connell screaming, I got B?
Actually, I'm not afraid of the dog walkers. I'm a little afraid of the unhoused who might be creeping out of here.
Sure,
Watch my six while I'm in this. These are noise cancelling headphones.
If someone starts to creep out from, we're very well acclimated to that. We all live in San Francisco.
Nick's, Jerry's about to get Call of Duty flashbacks. Like, behind you, we got on your six. Like,
oh my god!
I got me.
What's so funny about that though is you touched on something that I don't think it ever occurred to me was happening to me until you said it. You were saying when you start dreaming about Call of Duty, like that's when you know you have a problem. And I'm like, I fucking do. I dream about like dropping in and cutting my chute and like forgetting to cut the chute, or you cut your chute, you forget to like pop it again and you smash onto the fucking ground and die. And then you have to tell all your friends you're embarrassed because someone sniped you.
Yeah, that's usually what happens with me. Now I always think of the plays that got away, right? If I would have just seen that guy in the corner
just
of the wall,
you know,
you got to assume it's Bill Buckner with the ball going underneath his legs, or, you know, in my instance, what if Tim Duncan was on the floor and guarded Ray Allen and prevented the three from happening with the Spurs against the Heat in the 2013 finals? Those little moments, Jerry, are my superstar moments. If I would have hit that headshot, we would have won the game. And I stay up at night thinking about those things. Yeah. I can't, it's traumatizing.
You know, I have to say, My gaming career became a little isolated because my friends sort of fell off a little bit. It turns out that, you know, if you're trying to maintain a job and a family, it's difficult to play Call of Duty. It's difficult to keep a clan together until 4 a.m. 7 nights a week. And so I started actually isolating in my gaming a little bit. I started playing Madden a lot. Sure. And You know, it's funny. I could never.
Who's your team, first off?
Well, I could. You don't even want to know. I could never.
He put on the Jets hat. He's a Jets fan.
Oh, I didn't even see the Jets hat. That's right.
It's so embarrassing. Like, it's not even worth a discussion. Although Garoppolo was my QB last year, and I came in dead last in my league. So I want to thank all of you Northern Californians for that, for having me pay the penalty fee in my fantasy league. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Garoppolo. But I started playing Madden, and I was getting I don't play franchise mode, which is funny because my brother's a huge gamer and he's able to play franchise mode for months, which is, you know, you form a team, you play not online for, you just play the computer for months and months and months. And he was able to do that. I'm only able to get like the juices flowing, which is why we do all of this anyway, when I was playing head to head live someone else, typically someone who would talk.
You wanted the trash talk. They were trash talking you.
You know, I wanted the trash talk. I was very careful of trash talk even back then. I would never say anything totally offensive, but I enjoyed beating people and hearing them get frustrated. Yeah. And like, nothing is more satisfying than playing a game of Madden and you see connection lost, knowing that someone but someone had to like reset. Someone had to reset their Xbox. It was just like, and you know, they had like another 5 minutes of booting that up, and it was like, I got it so good. Oh man, you just got
to make him take a moment.
Ring for a while. Just go downstairs, go get something to eat, chill out. Like, you have 5 minutes now. Like,
you earned this.
I shut your system down. I took down the system. That's how humiliated you were.
One of the things that's great about, I don't know if how long they've been doing it, Andy, you can fill me in on this, but one of the things that's great about Call of Duty now is if they leave their mic open and you kill them, it will play back like the last 3 seconds of their audio. So you'll kill someone and you'll just hear, "Oh fuck." And it's great. It's so gratifying.
Wow, you guys are really talking me into it. I might have to dust off.
Gotta get in the zone.
The old modified joysticks.
You want to break the kids from Roblox. This is what you do. You reintroduce the joys of Call of Duty to them in their lives.
And then guess what?
Think about it. You already have two other clan members right there. You put them all together. There you go. It's family bonding.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't mean to generalize and stereotype, but I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but
gamers,
there's something about Bloxburg and Roblox. My daughters enjoy building, like,
sure.
You know, in Bloxburg they build houses, and it's almost like I'm not assigning gender to anything, saying like, I don't think I'll ever get them. It's funny. I had a friend that I worked with had a son, and I went to their house and I played Fortnite for a little bit. And oh man, I hope I'm not offending anyone. I just couldn't bite. I just was like,
fuck you, Jerry O'Connell. You offend me.
Fortnite's great. You don't get it.
Fortnite sucks.
It was too fantastical. Like, they were telling me to build walkways and bridges. And I was like, no, man, I want to go to war. Like, this isn't real.
You never build. You just murder. You kill. That's all you do.
No, I know, but like, I want to go to like Chechnya, an actual place in Chechnya, and like,
I want to go to Eastern Bloc. Let's go.
You know, I mean, like I was getting killed by like, you know, like LeBron, and like it was like caricatures of things, and I'm like, this isn't real life, man. Like, you don't understand. And I told that kid, I was like, you know, you don't know what real life is. You don't know what real battle is. You need to put Call of Duty on. Like, this is make believe. Like, I was in the shit, man.
You didn't see what I saw.
I was in the shit. Get it close to the camera, saying I was in the war, man.
Honey, I think that's Jerry O'Connell. Stay back.
Get away. He's having a flashback of Modern Warfare.
Any idea? There was an abandoned pool in Eastern Europe. You don't know what I saw in that abandoned pool.
This is great. Oh my god.
You have no idea.
This is the best content we've done.
To your point, one of the things I this is interesting because I say this and I don't have children, so I know nothing about it. But one of the things I always do when I talk to somebody and they're like, I have no idea what Roblox is, or for the older kids now, I don't know what Minecraft is and what my kids were into then, right? What the fuck? Is somebody walking by you right now? What's happening? What?
I mean, I just want to say RIP to Daft Punk. I was a huge fan. I love that band.
The audio sounds better now because the audio's bouncing back.
Yeah, it's all really? Just caught up in there. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you didn't sound bad before. We need to see the mustache. Don't worry about that. We need to see the mustache. But no, I was sorry. But to my point before I let it go, Roblox in Minecraft, right, are Legos, right? And I feel like every kid played with Legos, but you didn't. Not every kid plays video games. Not every kid finds something in there. So it's like digital Legos, but it's not necessarily the gateway to gaming.
Right. I do have to say, we just got my daughter's phones. They're 12.
Gotcha.
And it was a big deal that they got phones, you know, getting your kids your first phones. 12 was actually kind of late, you know. I mean, a lot of their friends have had phones for years. And, you know, everything is, including video games, including Instagram, including phones, including Roblox. It's just, TikTok. There's a gratification. There's a serotonin, you know? I mean, you know this from trying to go to, you can't just shut off Call of Duty and go to sleep.
No,
you need
I got to give an hour.
It's an hour. I mean, that's crazy. Like, think about like other pastimes, like reading a book or something. Like I read a book for 20 seconds and I'm like,
that's Kevin. Yeah, Kevin can't read. He can't even read in the office if it's broad daylight.
Well, back a second. Kevin can read. Can't read.
No, I open a book and I fall asleep immediately.
Immediately.
If my mind has a moment where it's like trying to concentrate, out cold. That's why I got to do four things. Four things at all time.
Yeah, but it does get back to my original point that I really I spent a lot of my 30s, not even my 20s, my 30s playing video games. I don't regret one second of them, but I do want to say it did, you know, stop me from writing the great American TV pilot. You know, it did take my energy away from other things. And it was because I was not able to do it, you know, like a normal person. And, you know, I probably will recharge my batteries, go and hit you guys up. But it's something that I'll be acutely aware of when I jump back into your clan, when I'm accepted into your clan, when we have the initiation ceremony.
I mean, I'm talking to our clan leader right now, Snowbike Mike, and he's saying that you could be an official member of the Squid Squad whenever you want to drop into our Discord and play with us.
I hope I can carry my own and I don't bring you.
Well, I'm terrible, so you're going to be way better than me anyway. It's going to be great.
Mike, this seems like an appropriate kill count ratio. I always keep my kill count ratio up. Trust me.
I'm good. Mine's at 0.5.
I'm never going to say, terrible. What's your KDR there? Mine's how you doing?
0.5.
Yeah.
Recently, I don't know if it's counting toward it, but I've been just dropping into Plunder and throwing on Pink Floyd and just murdering people. But that's thankfully that doesn't count. It only counts when you drop into the Warzone, right?
Yeah. You're aware, Jerry, that the Warzone is very much like Fortnite, right? Where it's a battle royale. The last people standing, right? There's 150.
You don't build shit
people.
Though. You're not trying to build a shed out there and with brick or whatever the hell.
There's 150 people dropping on a gigantic map, and it's find loot, kill the other team, survive as long as you can, and hopefully, if you are the last team standing, you survive. There's always a big ring coming in of poison gas, and you have
It is what we like to call high risk, high reward. So if you like that adrenaline hit of making people. Right. Rage quit. Imagine if you're the last two teams standing and you get that last kill and how pissed off that kid's going to be. Just fuel
just
the fire.
Just to let you know, my gear that I typically liked, if I wasn't using modified handguns, which I highly suggest.
It's amazing.
I would use...
I don't know if that's the meta right now, but we'll figure it out for you.
I would use... middleweight. I don't know the name of the guns.
Like ARs or submachine guns or...
You know, not submachine guns, something lighter. I loved the mobility. Like, I was always moving. I never stood still, you know? But one thing that always got me killed is anytime I ever tried to snipe, I always died.
Andy's
not a
got
sniper.
You covered on that.
Yeah,
Andy's
you got,
got
Andy.
You covered
Andy's
that.
Out here clicking heads, ripping them to shreds. It's in the whole intro.
I just haven't... You know, being a sniper is... It just takes a special kind of talent. And
you're
I
either born with it or you're not. You're either born with it or you're not, Jerry.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Jerry, we're going to get you a Mac 10. We're going to get you a leveled up Mac 10 as your submachine gun. And you and me are going to go clean out some houses in Verdansk. We're just going to go floor to floor and just clean them out.
Hilarious.
Here's what you need to know, Jerry. No one's trying to pressure you to get back into Call of Duty.
I am 100% pressuring you.
No one's saying 100%. You should come stream it with the Squid Squad.
You should do it
on a
Monday with us on Monday.
Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But as you know, we take care of one another here. And so while you were talking, I sent a message to Xbox that read, Rebecca Romaine threw Jerry O'Connell's Xbox in the front yard. And he's lapsed on gaming because of it. And the Xbox responded. They responded, what the fuck, Rebecca? Why would she do that? And they're going to send you an Xbox Series X if you're ready to jump back into Verdansk.
It was years ago. I just want to say this didn't happen recently. It was years ago. It was a tumultuous time for us. Things have smoothed over. There haven't been any electronics thrown out at all in days.
Sure.
Listen, here's what I'm going to say. I don't have any children, and my wife still loves me, so that's good. But I'll say this. You just got the kids' phones. They're 12 years old. 12 right now, that's the new 30, okay? The phones can – they're pretty much taking care of themselves at this point. Rebecca, she is who she is. Phenomenal career, phenomenal human being. You should feel no problem whatsoever – spending 3 to 6 hours a day with us, just wasting
a lot of time.
More so. Your kids are gonna be fine. They're great.
They're a year away from being teenagers. They're not gonna want to talk to dad anymore. This is easy.
So fun. Oh, so tempting. I'm sure I'll be back.
Here's the thing. Like,
I mean, I'm getting your address and sending you the Xbox. Is sending you this Xbox. You're getting the new Xbox.
Now I have a question. This is gonna make me sound really old. I have a question for you, whippersnappers. Back in my day, when you played, it used to be you were either an Xbox person or a PlayStation person.
It's all cross platform.
Oh, really?
It's all cross platform.
Walls down.
I'm on PS5. Andy's on PC. You can be on Xbox. I think Mike plays on Xbox sometimes too, and I think he's trying to play on PC right now. It's all you just have an Activision name and like an ID.
Can I
basically?
Can I play on my Wii? That's all set up.
No, the Wii is
done. That was a joke. That was a humorous comment. It was a joke.
We were running with the bit. We knew you weren't serious, O'Connell.
No, you nerd.
Listen here.
I don't know. Andy just played Fortnite on Switch for like 3 hours and then came back and was like, it was the worst experience of my life.
It was rough.
Andy,
it was rough.
God damn it. Apex,
Jerry, you've already superseded expectations because I was like, cool, do you know Discord? And you're like, no, but I'll figure it out. I was like, this guy's not showing up on the podcast. This is gonna be a 3:30. Hey, can we do this on Zoom? I can't figure this shit out. And somehow, not only did you figure it out, you're on your phone in a public park
with an amazing Jets hat on.
Tower, like that's my favorite part of this.
Under a 5G tower, risking everything. Yeah.
Get those extra
absorbing.
It was
all
really funny. Right when I stopped gaming, when I had to give up my habit. Look, the first step was saying, I do have a problem playing video games.
Sure.
I know, but I couldn't just play for like a half hour here or a half hour there. And listen, a lot of times, you know, addictions are like that. You know, I mean, like somebody can't have like a puff of something. They have to smoke a bale.
Sure.
You know, somebody can't have like a sip of something. They have to have a case. You know, it's like.
That's me with cigarettes. I had to quit. It took me forever to quit smoking cigarettes because it was the worst.
You know,
addiction.
I mean, look, there are some people who can. Some people who, like, once a year walk outside of a bar and go, hey, can I bum a cigarette?
I hate those people. I hate those people. Those people if I see those people outside of a bar, I'm like, I hope your toe gets run over by a car. Not the whole part of you, just like one of your toes. Like, it hurts.
What are we doing?
Chill out.
I think it's just a chemical thing. Like, I think it's just like a brain thing and just how your brain feeds it. And video games for me, It was like all I could think of, you know. It was really all I could think of, and it's fun to talk about it. I can't wait to jump back in. I really can't, and I'll try and do it in a more tempered manner.
Here's what I'll say. You can jump in with us whenever you want. And all kidding aside, you have a standing invite to play with us whenever we're streaming, and it's usually only 3 hours once a week. So you can come back in, play that one session with us, and then later online, if you feel like going hard for like 6 hours,
12 hours.
I'm gonna sound like a real pervert now, but what if I went to, and I don't even know if they're open in the quarantine. Mm-hmm. What if I went to one of those like gaming centers, one of those places where you rent a seat? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they have those anymore.
A 2001 thing. I don't even know if they exist anymore.
I've never been in there. A question about that. Like, where did the perversion come in with this?
Well, I mean, I've never been in those places, but you know, it's like,
oh, Tim, there's all sorts of shit happening in those places. You don't even know about that.
I'm so sorry, but like, there's bad things happening in those places. I'm sorry.
I'm on Jerry's level. Come on.
But
let's call it what it is.
First of all, everyone should have a console in their home and doing it there. And if you don't, if you have to go to one of those places, also, like, the person who rented you the console also sells vape juice and can fix your cell phone. And
screen.
While you're playing, he says, let me look at your phone. I'll fix whatever, like, chips that are in there. And then you give him your phone, and then you realize, like, someone else is on your phone all the time. Like, no offense to people who own cyber cafes or whatever the F they're called.
I'm not terribly worried about offending those people. If there's still cyber cafe owners around, you guys get your fucking life together. Start a cat cafe like a normal human being, for Christ's sake.
I was not expecting this to be the show where Jerry O'Connell goes after cyber cafe owners.
It's about time. It's about time that we got to the truth of the 5G tower starting COVID and the cat cafe.
No, we cannot.
Hey, listen, I do understand. We always used to have my brother host our Call of Duty games because his internet was by far faster than all of ours. But you also, my internet is pretty slow at my house. And people get a step on you, you know?
Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking at new internet. Kevin's helping me. You got to get gigabit internet. You got to get at least a gig up and a gig down just to feel like a human in these games now. Because I got Comcast, and Andy keeps telling me that's the reason why I'm not good at Warzone.
That's the only reason.
Holding you back for sure.
Yeah.
Let's not call out any large companies that I may or may not work for. Comcast, phenomenal.
We love Comcast. My wife loves it for the cable service. And I'm sure there's a great internet connection that's there. We love Comcast. We're a Comcast house.
Fuck AT&T versus AT&T. I'm kidding. I might get Sonic.
We'll see.
You could get fiber. Some of these companies have fiber. You never know. We love all these companies that are larger parent companies to broadcast corporations that hire me for their shows. We love them all.
That's
great.
That's great to protect, Jerry, but
you definitely lost the Brian's Cyber Cafe sponsor.
You're not getting that sponsor. You're not cutting an ad for Brian's Cyber Cafe anytime soon.
We're friends with someone that used to run one of those. Mike Aransky used to run a Cyber
Aransky
Cafe.
Aransky ran a Cyber Cafe. He's a pervert.
That's my thing. I don't want to say he is not a pervert. He is not.
Nice guy.
But I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some shady things going on. And again, perverted doesn't necessarily need to be the worst stuff. It can just be like
drugs,
you know. Yes,
stabbing,
exactly. Like cool drugs,
like a perversion.
That's what it is. Cool drugs, exactly.
Before we move on and segue to talk about Jerry's career, I just got a random tweet, Jerry, because we have a bunch of questions about, you know, past work and future work and current work. But I got a random tweet from somebody who their name is Chavis on Twitter, and they said, if you can get Jerry O'Connell to do his Stu Gatz impression, I'll donate $100 to charity.
Stu Gatz is a famous sports radio.
Right. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, we know. Stu Gatz.
I'm a gigantic fan.
You know, I used to call into that show a lot, and I used to do like sort of a Stu Gatz when I call it, you know.
It's just not how he sounds at all.
That's not a good Stu Gatz.
No, it's really bad. It's super because they called you out on the show also about how bad it was, Jerry. But I think if you keep working on it, we'll get a better one.
I don't know what Stu Gatz sounds like, so it was spot on in my brain, man. Spot on.
Just the heart breaking his eyes. Roger, clip it out and rewind it as he finds out his impression's bad.
Chavis, I'm really upset. I've been working on that for a while, and I think the $100 to the charity is still a go.
He's putting $100 there. We're holding his feet to the coals on that one.
Wait, what was? How did? Oh God, he's been off. I mean, I'm sorry to say, R.I.P. The Dan Le Batard show and all that, Gatz. But I guess Stu Gatz, he didn't have that deeper voice. He had sort of like, I know it was like a, oh yeah, this is my Stugatz. It was sort of
it's closer.
Register, yeah. It was sort of like
it's closer, yeah.
No, he was always like he was always inquisitive, like Stugatz. He always talked like this. You know, I'm originally from the New York area, so I love anybody who's got sort of a thick New York accent.
Could still use a little bit of work, Jerry, but it's still like we're getting donations left and right to charity, so that's all we needed that for.
As far
Thank
as I'm concerned,
so
that's two Stugatz impressions that he's done. So yeah. whoever that person was, $200 to charity. Come on.
In my defense, it's something I haven't thought about. I'm not kidding you. In about 700 days, so there was no pre-interview for the kind of funny.
You were prepared. You were prepared.
Here we go.
It was a great job. Great job. Thank you, Jerry.
Speaking of that, everybody, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, twice a week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around these microphones, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. You like that? You can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where, of course, you can be part of the show with your questions, your comments, your concerns. You, of course, could get the show ad-free. You could get it with the exclusive post-show we do on patreon.com/kindoffunny, and you could be watching live, just like Demetrius Newell is, Lexi G is, James Davis R. Of course, if you have no bucks toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode of the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and on podcast services around the globe twice a week. But of course, remember there are ads and no post show. Housekeeping for you, there's a brand new CVS crank call up over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. You can go check that out as I try to help Andy and then Andy and Nick screw me over. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Willie D. Billums, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, Mick, aka at Denanobiologist, DJ Kento, Steve Powers, Kieran O'Donnell, and Tom Bach. Today, we're brought to you by youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, and let me tell you about that right now. What's up, everybody? This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is insane, and it's sponsored by... Well, let me look at the ad here. Who wrote it? Oh, that's right. It's youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. If you didn't know, in 2021, we decided to take twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames way more seriously. We hired Snowbike Mike to do streams each and every day, usually for 3 hours, thanks to your support. And we heard you all say, hey, that's awesome, but I can't watch them live. I'm in a different time zone. I have a job. This baby over here needs food. Wah, wah, wah. That's the baby crying, not you. And so what we did is we had a new YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. This has all the daily streams archived there. We take them off of Twitch because Twitch is all like, hey, DMCA, we're gonna take you to jail or whatever. And I'm like, don't take me to jail, take Kevin. Like, we can't take Kevin, he's too crafty. And so we made this YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. You can go over there, you can watch the streams, you can catch up, you can go over there, you can go through them real quick if you want, you know, you want to just do the specific parts. Over there, we just did a morning show. That's right, the Kind of Funny morning show came back from a day. It's over there. Today, me and Snowbike Mike, as of recording this, went and played a whole bunch of Amazon Luna. That's up over there. There's a bunch of great stuff up. So why don't you go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays and click the like, subscribe, and share buttons. Also click the bell. And I know you're like, I don't care about the bell. The bell actually helps metric-wise and I think gets us further in the algorithm. So actually, while you're here, just go to all the YouTube channels, all three of them now. Kind of Funny Plays, Kind of Funny, Kind of Funny Games. Go there, subscribe, like the videos, and then click the little notification bell. And it's not like you get a text message like, hey, I guess text messages, what? I was going to say text messages wouldn't talk. Because I was giving like an inflection there. The text message, of course, would be more like, I am a robot, like there's a new video up. I don't think they have that functionality. I don't actually know. I mean, I click the bell, but I don't know if I've enabled those notifications. But like, it'd be cool if you went and enabled the notifications as well. Then you'd be like me, you know what I mean? And like, if one day there is some way that you can click a notification bell and you'll get a thing from me that'll be like, hey, there's a new video on Kind of Funny Plays or Kind of Funny Games or Kind of Funny, then I'll do it for you. But yeah, and if you're like, man, Greg, this ad's really going on too long, just remember patreon.com/kindoffunny. You don't have to be listening to this ad, but because you don't want to give us money, which is totally cool, I'm asking you not to click the bell, that'd be better. But because of the no money thing, this is what you get. And so it just keeps going like this, you know what I mean? And now what I want you to imagine, Beatles in your ears. Think about that. You didn't have to do that. Oh, if you would have gone to Patreon,
now.
I wouldn't have to do that.
My ears itch
now. I don't mean to be a podcast criminal. I don't mean to come in here and like do these things to you. You know what I mean? But I had to. And just remind you.
Attacked my ears.
Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Otherwise, ear beetles.
Okay, Jerry O'Connell, out in the field. Here's the thing about you that I love is that I say Jerry O'Connell's coming on the podcast. And of course, for me, that means the star of Sliders is coming on this podcast, the greatest show of all time, right? That
great
deserves
show.
A reboot. It deserves one of these streaming services to pick it up and do something with it. I digress. When I say it, everybody else says something different for your career. I got people shouting out about Lower Decks. I got people shouting out, obviously, about Stand By Me. Everybody knows I'm a big Superman fan. You've been a great Superman. We'll get to that, of course. When you're stopped on the street and somebody goes, oh, my God, Jerry O'Connell, you're underneath a 5G pole in a park, what do they usually say they know you from? Or is it broken up by ages, or how does that work?
It depends on the demographic. If you are about 30, then you only know me as the guy in the kangaroo movie. I was in a
film. There we go, baby. 31.
I was in a film called Kangaroo Jack. It let me tell you, there's a little bit of a story. I'm going to try and tell this story quickly because it's not as interesting as Modified
no,
Choice.
This is going to be this is the story Tim was looking forward to. He was like, you think he's going
to
talk about Kangaroo
Jack? I wanted to
hear
this story from
like,
you, so I'm extremely excited about
let's
this.
Let's go.
In 2003, myself and Anthony Anderson, great actor,
phenomenal.
Blackish, amazing actor, award-winning actor.
Yeah.
Law & Order. He and I starred in a R-rated film, okay? About two low-level mafiosos who have to go to Australia to deliver a payment of $10,000 to a mafioso. When we get there, we're driving through the outback. We hit a kangaroo. We kill it. It's based on an urban legend in Australia that this happened to a tourist. And they take the kangaroo carcass and they put their jacket on the kangaroo carcass and start taking selfies with it. And the kangaroo wakes up and runs away. Now, the urban legend is it runs away with their passports and the passports are gone. But they decided to, Jerry Bruckheimer, big time producer, said, let's do like an R-rated sort of like a midnight run with two bumbling mafiosos chasing a kangaroo in the outback. Okay. And we did it. A lot of cursing, nudity.
You got me.
I mean, it was an R-rated movie. They immediately tested the film the second they had a cut of it. And everyone was like, I was going to take my kids to this. Isn't this about a talk? They thought it was about a talking kangaroo because they said it was about a kangaroo with a jacket on it. And they went, I can't take my kids to this. You know, he's saying the F word and there's nudity and it's just sex and it's a dirty movie. And they said, well, yeah, it's a rated R movie. And they went, well, you can't do that. You have like a, you have a kangaroo in it, you know? So then they called me up and they said, listen, bad news. We're making it a PG movie. And I went, wow, really? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, why is that bad news? And they went, well, sometimes when films are really cut down like that, it's not the same product. And I was sort of new to the business. I was in my 20s, in my mid-20s, and I was like, it doesn't bother me, you know, do what you want to do. I'm not going to tell Jerry Bruckheimer how to cut a movie, you know. And they assured me they do testing and this is what they do. So we did some reshoots on it. And one of the reshoots was I get knocked out and I have a dream about a kangaroo that like raps. And so they were going to animate a kangaroo that sings like I said, a hip. A hop, a hibbit, a hibbit, a hip hop, but stop it, you don't stop. I'm walking to the bang, the boogie, up chuck the boogie. Right. And so the kangaroo raps. And so we did this whole sequence. And then we shot it in a reshoot, and that was it. You know, I had to tell you, I wasn't in a big movie at that point. I mean, I had a small role in Jerry Maguire. I was in Stand By Me about the four boys, but I hadn't been in like a big action movie. I was in a
major
movie called
Hollywood,
man. I was in one movie called Mission to Mars, and that was a big movie. But I was sort of I was a co-star. I was you know, I wasn't
leading man.
You know, I just sort of kept my mouth shut and stayed in the background.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you were Trip McNeely and Can Hardly Wait. Don't undersell yourself.
I understand that, but Can Hardly Wait was shot at one house. It was a party. They shot it in like 3 days. It was like
you were the main character in that movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it wasn't like an $80 million movie with like special effects and everything. So I just said, you know, do whatever you want to do. So the first trailer comes out and the whole thing is like, go see Kangaroo Jack. And it's just the kangaroo rapping and it's animated. And I was like, this is crazy. This isn't what this movie is about. It's not about a rapping kangaroo. And so that was the commercial everywhere. And I remember I was with my brother and we were watching cartoons, I guess. I'm sorry. I was in my 20s and we were watching.
Don't watch cartoons.
cartoons, and a commercial for the movie came on, and it came on in between like a
toy commercial.
Yeah, like a toy commercial. I was trying to come up with a funny toy. Coleco, what were those things called?
Like Rubik's Cube?
Like, yeah.
Kaleidoscope. ColecoVision. Creepy Crawlers.
Whatever. Creepy Crawlers, right. It came in between two kids' commercials, and I was like, oh my God, this is a kid's movie. Like, this is now officially a kid's movie. I was like, but the only kid's thing is that one scene where I get hit on the head, and it's like, this is crazy. Like, this is not an animated movie about a talking kangaroo, you know? I mean, like, I did frontal nudity in this. I went to a grotto.
I hope that's true.
And it was,
I hope
like, the
that's
first
true.
Time where I was like, and when you do frontal nudity, I got to tell you, it's really scary. There's 100 people there, and it's like on a set, and I had to go into water. That's why I got naked, and the water was freezing. So I'm like off camera, being like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, talk to him.
Don't do it in a park.
Don't do that in a park near kids.
And they were like, all right, and we're rolling. And I was like, stop, hold the roll. Oh, God.
Right.
Come on, buddy. Warm up. Come on. We gotta get more.
Yeah, get a little rice buddy. Put it around it. Rice buddy.
I can't do this because, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but, you know, when things are freezing, you could.
We've all seen Seinfeld.
We know.
Yeah.
Things look like an acorn, you know? I mean, like literally like a baby acorn, you know? And it's just like, it's just crazy. And anyway, I remember I went to go see the film opening weekend in New York on 23rd Street, and it was filled with kids in there. And just like, you know, I could tell it wasn't what parents were expecting, you know, or kids. And
anyone in the theater, it wasn't what the audience was expecting.
It was my first real introduction to like what like goes on.
This is the way Hollywood works.
Mirrors world of like Hollywood and everything. And so now when you say, how do you get recognized? A 30 something year old person will come up to me and be like, hey man, you're Jerry O'Connell, right? And I'll go, yeah. And they'll go, Kangaroo Jack, right? And I'll go, yeah, that was me, Kangaroo Jack. And they'll go, man, I got to tell you, that's the first time I ever really felt lied to in my life. It's going to see that movie. Like, that movie was just one, it was a huge lie.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. It was an R movie. And then they changed it. And
I saw it in theaters. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you were, I think it was a little rowdy. So rowdy. So, I mean, I'm sorry to anyone who I'm not giving refunds for it. If
no, don't do that.
I'm sorry.
Here's what I'm going to ask you, because you're obviously a well-known celebrity and actor. You've got a lot of pull in Hollywood, and we've got a lot of pull on the internet.
Tremendous.
Now, I don't know if you follow a lot of pop culture news. Okay.
I follow it all.
But there's been a gigantic effort to get a movie not a lot of people have heard of called Justice League recut and restored to its original format. And what I'm hearing from you is there's an R-rated cut of Kangaroo Jack somewhere out there. How do we bring this to HBO Max?
Where's
the O'Connell cut? Hashtag bring back the O'Connell cut.
It'll be 4 hours. That is really, you know what?
I'm serious. I would watch that. I would legit rent the R-rated version of it.
Snyderverse, maybe it's really opened like a lot of things. Like, there is an R-rated cut of Kangaroo Jack out there.
Full frontal involved.
If there is full frontal
involved. Dude, come on. This is right there at least a couple $1 million in rentals right there, I have to imagine, of just people wanting to.
It's pure curiosity at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Release the full frontal cut.
The full frontal cut. Kangaroo Jack, semicolon, full frontal. The rated R.
Yes.
Done. Right. And look at Greg, and see where Greg's at. Greg is tweeting it right now.
I'm tweeting it right now, everybody. We're starting the movement. Hashtag release the O'Connell cut.
Greg is already tweeting it. Now, Jerry, had you talked to any of your family while you were filming that movie and kind of given them a hint of what the movie was going to be? Because I got to assume while you're filming, you're like, yeah, I'm doing this Jerry Bruckheimer thing. It's a crime. It's a sort of mafioso mob thing. And then, because I can't imagine what their reactions were watching
seeing the trailer,
watching even. Cartoon Network and seeing an ad and being like, whoa, this is not the movie I expected. And I'm sure, but I'm sure Jerry knew.
You know, I got to tell you, I never really, you know, it's funny when you do a job, you know, I'm someone who does a job and then like, I just sort of forget about it. I don't really like, I'm not someone who goes back and talks about what I did. I think that's a little, I mean, everyone has their process, but to me, it's like, once you do it, it's over with. So I didn't even think about them editing it and even changing the rating of it. I was like, listen, they're the pros. I'm not going to tell them what to do. So let them do it. It's, you know, it wasn't until.
But, you know, we've heard R rated movies going to PG-13. We've heard PG-13 going to PG, but that two level leap.
Read R to level PG. Leap. You
know, wait, well, the one where I showed my dick is being advertised on Cartoon Network
with a rapping kangaroo.
This is
I didn't have, look, I didn't have 7 hours to watch the Snyder cut, but I mean,
well, do you have 5 hours to watch our review?
Yeah, we did it in two parts.
Was it worth it?
The Snyder cut? I think it's worth watching. It's definitely worth watching. Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's worth watching for a number of reasons, but not the least of which is exactly what we're talking about, right? To see where a project can just completely go off in a different direction. And then it's an interesting opportunity to like do exactly what we're talking about, where I'm legitimately, we're all kidding aside, I would love to watch the R-rated cut of Kangaroo Jack to see what that original vision was and then compare and contrast that to the PG version.
Well, you know, listen, I don't want to, I don't know if we want to call, are we calling the other version the Whedon cut? I mean, but I mean, you know, I don't want
to. Yeah, people call it that.
They're calling it Justice League now.
Oh.
League, you know, but you know, I have to say, movie going was a different experience when Justice League came out 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was theater owners telling movie studios, I need as many showings.
Yeah,
if you have it over 2 hours, I'll kill you. We need people in and out of this. If this is going to be, you know, your big tentpole movie, we got to have 30 showings a night, and you can only do that if it's under 2 hours, you know, and, you know, they're under immense pressure to do that. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, now we view things, we have an entire pandemic to view things. I mean, we're desperate for any sort of content, anything. I mean, I'm joining streaming sites that are like putting so many viruses on everything. Like,
yeah.
I'm just, you know, dying just for something. And it's so a 4-hour movie is not only, you know, okay. Now it's celebrated. We want a 6-hour movie. We have the time, you know,
we watched it in two different nights. I mean, we broke it up into two different nights and, well, not Greg. Greg mainlined it, but the rest
watched
of us
twice full time. No big deal.
You know, we wanted to bring energy to it and have some well thought out thoughts. But yeah, I mean, it's a different world.
Let's open the comments and see if the comments say Nick had well thought out thoughts.
Oh, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
Real quick, just
let's not bring that energy into this.
Just to go back, Kevin, to Kangaroo Jack for a moment.
Yeah, of course.
When the poster came out, were you shocked? Were you like, oh, that's the angle they're going for the poster? Which, Kev, you know.
Please bring it up. Yeah. I sent it to Assets.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did, because the poster's tagline at the top says, he stole the money and he's not giving it back. And it's just it's just the kangaroo.
Right. It's the kangaroo, I believe, wearing glasses. Like,
yep, he's wearing glasses and a Brooklyn sweatshirt.
He looks very mischievous. He looks very mischievous.
He's up to something. Yeah, there he is. This kangaroo is up to something.
Is he not with his paw or hoof or whatever you call a kangaroo hand, his claw? What do kangaroos have?
A pincer, I believe.
Pincer.
I don't think it's a pincer. I think it's more
kangaroos
close
known
to a
for
hoof.
The pincers and pouches.
With his little claw, like, isn't he like tilting the sunglasses?
Not in this one. Not in this one. But the sunglasses are off his nose in the one we're looking at right now. So he's kind of looking over it like a school teacher would if you misbehaved in her class.
But isn't the kangaroo in that poster looking into the lens?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, he's not acting like an animal. He's acting like an animated
human being. Yeah.
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 So, yeah, I remember seeing that and being like, wow, what a bummer. I thought, you know, this was going to be my Reservoir Dogs. My, like, you know, I did full frontal nudity. I did everything like Christian Bale told me to do. Like, I did, like, you know, I went for it. And you're right. We need a, what are we calling it?
The O'Connell Cut.
The O'Connell Cut.
I mean, unless your dick in this, it's called the O'Connell Cut.
To be fair,
it could also be the O'Connell Uncut.
That's fair. Depending, fair. we don't judge. I'd also say this: if we want to get Anthony on this too, we can come up with a different name. But if Anthony is down to get in on this movement, we can figure something out that's inclusive for both of the stars of the movie. But I just someone's got to have Jerry Bruckheimer's phone number, and I'm looking through my phone. I don't seem to have it. Andy, mm-hmm. Do you have Jerry's number?
I deleted it. Jerry Bruckheimer. It was an accident. Yeah, I got a new phone. Dropped it in the water.
Well, Jerry, maybe you can call him up and see if he's interested in putting this bad boy out.
He's actually like a real player in Hollywood. I know
he's scary.
Like how this works out? Like, do I call up and it's like, Mr. Bruckheimer, Jerry O'Connell on line one? And he's like, what? And Jerry O'Connell, and like then I imagine like the assistant covering the phone and going, Jerry O'Connell from Kangaroo. Oh yeah, okay. Hello, hey Jerry, hey. How are you? Good. How you been? It's been 18 years. Yeah. How are things? Good. Going well. Listen, I don't know if you saw, you know, all that hullabaloo about the Snyder Cut and release the Snyder Cut and, you know, HBO Max really got a lot of traction on that. Did you see that? Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't have 6 hours.
Laugh, everybody.
Yeah,
laughs.
I know it was long. Did you hear The Kind of Funny podcast, Break It Down? Oh God, it is a two-parter. Yawn. Jerry, I was wondering if you'd be willing to do the same thing with KJ.
What's KJ?
KJ.
With what? What's KJ?
Kangaroo Jack, Mr. Bruckheimer. That's what we
call
it. The kids call it. KJ. Yeah. What do you mean? I wonder if we could release the original cut, the original film that we intended to bring everyone
to the masses.
The original Kangaroo Jack. I'm talking about the O'Connell cut.
And scene.
Jerry? Yeah, Mr. Bruckheimer? Is this a fucking joke? It's never going to happen. I mean, God, funny. Listen, if anybody could do it, we could do it here at the Kind of Funny Podcast.
We're gonna put some effort into this.
You know, I think people. What's the next in line for a movie that needs a new cut?
Suicide Squad, Ayer's cut. That's what they're talking
about.
Yeah,
that's what everyone's asking for. They want to see the original
Suicide
cut of that.
Suicide Squad, absolutely sure.
But right behind that, Kangaroo Jack. You know,
Kangaroo Jack. KJ,
What about Birds of Prey? Are they asking for
No, that movie
no,
was
everyone
good.
Liked that
they
one.
Didn't need, yeah, they didn't
yeah,
need
we
that
don't.
One to be fixed.
That
one, that
didn't, one
didn't
get
fixed,
messed
apparently.
Up. Mm, I'm just saying the marketing of this is just built in. The rated R Kangaroo Jack full frontal version. Come on, dude. How
Kyle in our chat is
that?
Pointing out that this is a Warner Brothers movie, and so
we
right
got,
there, HBO
oh,
Max, we got
yes.
the they got the juice, they
got
these things.
This is great.
Get Bruckheimer, what was it, $7 million extra dollars or whatever it was?
I said two, but I have no idea how money works. So
sure.
I imagine that's good enough to – I mean, listen, the difference is this, though, is that Snyder had to go back and, you know, do finish visual effects. He had to recolor stuff. He had to do a lot – you know, he had to do a lot more work on that. This sounds like they test screened the rated R version. So there's
it's
a cut somewhere in a vault that's assembled. Maybe you got to bring it out, tweak the sound a little bit. Again, I don't know how any of this works.
Are they really keeping that stuff? I mean, don't they just at some point throw it away? Like, are they really paying the storage space on this
stuff? It depends on well, I know for sure that a lot of great films get archived. So they'll take that and they'll archive it in Washington for future preservation. I don't know if the R-rated version of Kangaroo Jack got that treatment. Or not?
It could be at the Smithsonian. Whoa, you don't know
it's
that.
It's possible.
It
you don't know?
It's possible. It was so good.
No,
everyone's like, some kids
you're
like, I'm gonna.
Now you're making light of a serious matter, Nick. You're just being rude.
I apologize first and foremost to any of the hardcore Kangaroo Jack fans. Somewhere in some vault in Warner Brothers, there's a cut of this. I guarantee it. We need to get in there. We needed to dust it off. and get all the grain out of it and just get it on HBO Max, man. I think this would be hilarious. I mean, it can't be, if there is a cut, it can't be that much to digitize it and just get it out there. That would be amazing.
Yeah, we don't need to do reshoots or anything. No, it's out there.
Even though I would love some reshoots. All of a sudden, Jerry Chomsky's 18 years older, and then the next scene he's back to where he was.
Let me ask you this. Was the Snyder Cut better than Justice League?
Yes. The theatrical cut?
100%. Yes.
It was. Yeah.
No doubt. No debate.
By how much?
Two hours.
Just by being a fact of it was better.
Was it better by 10%, 20%, 100%?
It was more cohesive. It was more understandable in the story. The story was the story overall made more sense. But I mean, to your earlier point, it's a hard comparison because you're comparing something that was a 2 hour long sort of reshot cobbled together film to a 4 hour long movie.
I don't want to upset anyone. I love everyone.
Second you say Justice League, you're already pissing off at least 50% of the people listening to this.
But I do want to say, you know, I wasn't so hot on the old Justice League, and I did play Superman for many years in Warner Brothers Animation. But after seeing, you know, I was working on sort of the Warner Brothers Animation side, and after seeing Batman v Superman, I was like, you know what? I apologize to everyone for saying this. Not too sure about all this live action stuff. I have a feeling that some of the stuff we're working on over in Warner Brothers Animation is...
Oh. I mean,
I was feeling a little competitive at the time. So it's becoming a little bit from a jealousy standpoint, because obviously their budgets are infinitely larger than ours at Warner Brothers Animation. But I was like, look at our scripts and storylines and like what we do and stuff like that. And, you know, just how we portray Darkseid and like all that stuff. I was a little like, this is what they're doing with all that money. Okay.
Oh, so you're preaching to the converted on this one, because we've said, me and Greg have said since day one, that just look to the animated properties that Warner Brothers does, DC does. They're always great.
It's heartbreaking that so many DC stories are turned into amazing animated films and people don't want to watch them because they're cartoons. Or they just don't get pushed around.
People watch them. No. People watch them.
Nick and I watch them, to be clear. We're big fans. I'm saying I wish it was getting a wider release. I wish more people were watching. I hope HBO Max is helping leading to that.
I do have to say a little bit of that, but also toward the end of my time in the Warner Brothers animated world, we were releasing them for a couple weeks a year. There's a really funny photo of me going to the premiere. If you look up Jerry O'Connell Superman suit, I wore this. It's a really funny photo that I wore to the red carpet of it. And so they gave it a couple weeks of a theatrical release. And I got to say, it is so fun watching those animated movies in a movie theater.
For sure.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Really
fun.
That's
awesome.
I had a lot of fun playing Superman. It was such a learning curve for me. You know, I've been in the DC world for a little bit. I had played Shazam, so that's more of a teenage. I played a teenager. I played Nightwing, more of a teenager. And then as I got older, they let me play Adam. And then they were looking to change casts. And they cast me as Superman, and it was for one film, and then I did five more.
Awesome.
I got to tell you, it was such a learning curve for me, because I did the first one, and I made a grave error of immediately when it was released going on Reddit and Twitter and just seeing what people thought about it.
I think I did a really good job. Let's check out what the internet says. This guy's the worst Superman of all time. I hate this. The Sliders guy?
Listen, people were very critical of how I portrayed Superman. And it was crazy to read them all. And I got to say, the biggest thing for me that I found was people hated that I didn't really differentiate Superman from Clark. And, you know, it's fun. I don't know what I was thinking or what choices I was making. Maybe I didn't, you know, I just don't think like I think it was like Christian Bale time, and I didn't want to do a voice for Superman. But at the same time, there subtly has to be a difference. But there is it as good as my Stugatz?
How is that compared to the Stugatz?
there has to be a difference, and it has to be worked on. And I gotta say, it was so eye-opening to me to play a an iconic character, an intellectual property, whatever you want to say it, because I think anyone who works in these worlds has to, it's painful. It's almost like going to a therapist. You have to go to Twitter and especially Reddit, because they know. And it's, I got to tell you, it's not my prop. Superman isn't mine.
Sure.
It's theirs. It's yours. It ain't mine. And, you know, it ain't Henry Cavill's. It ain't even Zack Snyder's, you know, but,
sure.
It really was, it was, and over the six movies, I really like, I got to a point where I really paid attention to them, and I really, those comments became less and less angry. And it was a real learning experience for me to play, you know, if, you know, now that I'm in the Star Trek world and I'm in that show Lower Decks, luckily I'm playing a character that is new to the canon and everything.
Mm-hmm. You're not so playing Kirk. That'd be a hard one to step into.
Well, there's a little more freedom there. You know, yeah. If I was playing young Kirk, I would have to base it on William Shatner. You would
absolutely
have to.
You can't.
I mean, and then it's tricky, because does it become an imitation and you have questions? But listen, if I did one episode where I was playing a young Kirk, I would immediately go to Reddit and say, okay, it's all yours. How do you want me to change it? I mean, literally, it's like doing a painting job or something. Hey, do you like this? You want me to change these colors? You want me to keep them?
I mean, but do you feel like some of that was that backlash, though, is just from the fact that the voices for specifically Superman and Batman have just been so iconic, especially for like me and Greg growing up with like Kevin Conroy and like Tim Daly, like doing those voices. There's got to be a natural process where fans get acclimated to those new voices. And I feel like that's probably some of where maybe a little bit of the, I don't want to say anger, but tenacity might come from the fan base.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but they were right. I wasn't playing it well.
Wow. Don't give them that power. Tim always tells me I'm wrong. I said, no, Tim. It's just how I like to play my character on this podcast.
They were.
Character.
I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm trying to figure out, like, emotionally what I'm going through saying this. Like, is it defeat? You know, am I saying uncle? But I don't know what to tell you. Like, they were right.
I just called
it. I think that's one of the things you're talking about, right, of, like, you know, you're borrowing Superman for a little bit, right? And obviously he has a long history before you, and hopefully a long history after you. So to go to take that note, right? I think it's a performance thing that you would take from any audience, right? The benefit of it is if you're doing a play or something, right? And you see reviews and people talk about a specific thing that they didn't like, you can adjust it the next night. Whereas with this, you only get a couple cracks at it.
I'm like getting chills talking about this, but I'm in a really funny show called Lower Decks. It's created by a guy named Mike McMahon, who's from the Rick and Morty world. It's an animated Star Trek. It's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, it's on Paramount Plus. I highly suggest you watch it. It's great. But Jack Quaid is in it.
That's why I won't watch it.
Why?
He's Jack Quaid. We love Jack Quaid. They have a great relationship. Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. The boys. Talk about a gamer. He's been, he's on there all the time.
Dude, let's squat up. Get Jack. Let's go. Next Monday. War zone.
This character that I'm playing, Commander Ransom, he's new to the canon. So I get to be a little looser with him. But it's so exciting that, you know, he's going to be in the canon. And I guarantee you, I don't know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, someone's going to have to play him. And they're going to have to watch Lower Decks and be like, all right, let's see what Jerry O'Connell did with this character, because he's going to have to play off of it. You know, it's you just have to honor the canon. I know a lot of people say don't give power to the commenters, but you have to, man. You just have to.
Well, there's a difference between ones that are super mean and telling you suck and you should, you know, fuck off and never do this, and then somebody who's like, well, here's my nuanced opinion of it, right? Here's what I did.
You know,
I
don't think there are any nuanced opinions. You have to sort of understand there are no nuanced. People don't go onto message boards to be like, yeah, listen, okay, that was good.
Here's some feedback.
I like what you did there on the second take.
And there's something kind of honest about it. And if you're not easily offended, I'm telling you, if you work in science fiction canon specifically, and you're not easily offended, message boards are, that is your go-to. Go to it. It's your go-to. It's how you get better. It's how you get better.
Thankfully, I do not neither of those things. I will say this though: you're not making it easy on yourself stepping into Superman and Star Trek. these are like the most hardcore fan bases that you can get out there. Minus the Star Wars kids, we don't talk about them.
We're in really good
hands.
Our creator Mike McMahon is a super fan. I mean, he knows a lot about, like, you know, I admittedly I know nothing about Deep Space Nine.
Jerry, you got to watch Deep Space Nine. It's great. It's so
I know.
It's on Netflix right now. I started. I got like four seasons in already.
I understand that, and I promise I'll catch up. But Mike McMahon is continually writing and making jokes about, you know, what you're up to, season four and DS9, as he calls it. And he'll make a reference to that, and I'll be like at work, and I'll be like, Mike, I'm so sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, it's season four of Deep Space Nine. Sorry. Let me explain what's going on now. And it's just people love their shows. Sorry, you're on season five.
No, I'm sorry. Season five, episode 21 is where I left off. My bad.
Season five, episode 21. We got that. Everybody jot that down. Let's put that.
Everybody caught up. Everybody caught up. And where Nick left off. Great. There we go. Thank you.
Completely useless information coming from my side.
Have you started the episode? Are we like in the middle?
It looks like it's the beginning of the episode, Jared. It's 45 minutes and 37 seconds left.
We got a good episode.
The
third act to go.
Yeah, we got a whole lot.
So while we're here talking about actually being an actor, and we're talking about all the things you've done and what people know you for, right? I like this question from Madeline, aka Matt Exposure, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can, and says, "Hi, Jerry and Kinda Funny crew. I hope you're having a great day." Jerry, you having a great day?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay, good. Is there a role that you almost booked that you are glad you got rejected for or were not booked for? Do you ever look back at one of these things? You're like, oh, I was so close to getting this, and then you look at the project, you're like, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that.
I don't think I would have been glad I never did something. Is it something like I turned down and I was like, I'm glad I'm...
You can switch it. If there's something, was there something that maybe you missed out on that you wish you could have done?
I auditioned for that Brandon Routh Superman, the one that
Superman Returns.
Wow,
Superman Returns. I auditioned for that, and it was funny because J.J. Abrams wrote the script, and he was sort of like it was like hipster Superman. It was like, you know, Clark wasn't a nerd anymore. He was like kind of like a nerd, like a hipster, you know? And so I played it like that. And I sort of, it was obviously nothing they were looking for. I mean, they didn't even call back with feedback. So I guess I could have tried a different approach there somehow.
Yeah, I mean, Superman Returns sucked. That. You were fine. Don't worry. You did fine.
At least they used the original John Williams theme. Great.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon, this is no offense to Brandon Routh. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was really good.
And they were like, hey, let's just make, you know, Superman the movie again. Like, somebody in the writer's room, so like, funny. Even the same plot, they're like, yeah, make land. Yeah. I'm like, that's weird. All right.
Let's do it again.
Oh, you know what? Here's really funny. This is super random. They remade V about 15 years ago. V was a very popular miniseries in the 80s. Miniseries.
Yeah.
And they remade it, and I was a huge V fan in the 80s. And I wanted an audition for it, and they wouldn't give me one, and I could never understand why. I never bother my agents ever, and I called to my agent and I was like, I'm a huge fan of V, I know this story, you got to get me in a room with them, trust me. And so my agent went, okay, I'll do it. And my agent called back and they went, they're not interested, they don't want to see you. And I was like, no, tell them I'm a huge fan, call them back, let them know I've watched all the original miniseries, I want to be a part of this new one. My agent called back and like, yeah, the answer is no. Crazy, heartbreak. Right?
That's
yeah.
Crazy. Well,
why wouldn't that bad Kangaroo Jack?
You tell him. That was a lie. He's a liar.
Before the show started with Jerry, we were talking about your mustache, and I have an important question, because if we're going through with this restoring the full frontal cut of Kangaroo Jack, you might need to shave the mustache, because what we can't have happen is you do reshoots and then have to CG out your mustache. That's a big thing with Superman and Justice League, a lot of problems.
Or do we just lean into
that? Are you willing
to
do that?
Do we just lean into it?
I know what you're talking about. Henry Cavill had a mustache that he grew for a role.
Mission Impossible. That's why we won't watch Mission Impossible.
A much better movie.
It's a great movie. Really fun movie. You should watch it.
I refuse to watch it because of this.
And he refused to shave his mustache for the reshoots, right?
I think he was contractually obligated. They were like, we're still shooting Mission Impossible. You can't shave his mustache. He was like a pivotal character in that, so they wouldn't let him out of it.
Could you tell? I did not see it. I'm so ashamed. Could you tell that they were drawing over his face?
Yeah, it was very terrible.
Bad. It was very bad.
It was.
We can't do this to Kangaroo Jack. All right, this is the O'Connell cut.
But here's what I'm going to say, and this is, if I may, compliment you for a second, Jerry. The mustache is working.
Oh, you look great.
I mean, to be fair,
it was working on Henry Cavill as well.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great with it too. So I'm just thinking, like, really what we're doing is we're just seeing a what if. I mean, if there's a couple scenes we got to fill back in for reshoots where you got the mustache, I think that can, Andy, we can explain that away with a couple lines of dialogue off screen.
I have never grown facial hair in my life. I'm really sad to say this is 3 months of growth, and it's still like kind of like patchy and stuff. You can see. It's like, I just don't have facial hair. I just don't have it. I mean, I don't know if it's a testosterone thing or what, but I just don't have it.
Well, first off, you got a great head of hair, and that's more important.
Stay away from the 5G tower for a couple of weeks.
How has the family's reception been for the mustache?
Everyone hates it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Has that question ever been answered differently about a mustache?
No. I think people just hate them. I love mustaches, though. I want one so badly, but I'm pretty sure my wife would have the same reaction.
Everyone says, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah,
you
know, it's not for a role. It's just because.
It looks dope.
Oh, this is really sad as well. I was with a group of people the other day. Everyone was tested. And, you know, everyone was clean. It wasn't like an underground party or anything. And it was... It was a very safe space, and we believe in science. And when saw me and went, "Oh, hey, look at your mustache!" And by the way, I'm growing it just because I'm completely I'm completely out of work. Like nothing's going on. And this is it. I'm doing this.
Real down period. That's why I was excited to come be on this show.
But, don't worry, dude. We're gonna get you back.
We're reaping all the benefits. The Kangaroo
Jack. Greg, you should have known something when you DM'd me. You're like, "Hey, are you available to do this?" And I was like, "Any day." I saw someone and they're an actor. They said, "Whoa, look at your mustache!" And I went, "Yeah." And they said, "Oh, wow, it's for a role. You're doing that for a role?" And I was about to be like, "Oh no, I'm only doing the kind of funny pocket. Nothing's coming up." And I was about to say that, and I was like, I couldn't say
you
that.
Couldn't,
so I just
you
like,
didn't
yeah.
want to
I went,
admit
yeah.
that.
I said, "Yeah, it's for a role." And they were like, "Really? What?" And I was like, "It's for a Western. It's a Western." Mm-hmm. And cowboy type person. They were like, "Wow, cool."
When's that shooting? When's that? You're like booking a flight while you're talking. I'm like, "Oh, I gotta do it right now, actually. Yeah. I gotta get out of here."
I will say one thing about having a mustache. I do sometimes, because I've never had one, and it's pretty fun to have. I do sometimes, if I get out of the shower or something, like, and I put a towel on, and I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror.
Full frontal.
And like, I forget that I have a mustache. I love to like lean into the mirror and like wipe the steam off the mirror and just look at myself and just go, "Oh man, you're in too deep."
Like,
"You're in too deep.
Like you're undercover?
You gotta get out. You have a family."
Yeah.
"You gotta get back to your life." "I don't know if I'm ever gonna get out." I sometimes say that.
Your wife just comes in, pulls the mirror off, and just throws it out. She's like, "We're done with this bit. We're done with this bit."
All right. Now, speaking of your wife here, I have a question from Arvel. All right. And this is also about Star Trek. So there you go. Arvel wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can. It says, hi, everyone. And hi, Jerry. Thank you for being in basically most of the TV shows I've been watching in the 90s. Namely, My Secret Identity, which for some reason was called Ultraman here in Germany. And Sliders.
Wow.
With the topic of a multiverse becoming more and more mainstream, do you think Sliders could work in today's streaming world? And since I'm a massive Trekkie, I'm also extremely happy to have you and your wife joining the franchise, both in the number one position. Now, I've heard in interviews that you both are teasing each other because of that. So the question is not who's a better number one, but who do you think will become the first command as captain, or who will get their first command as captain?
Wow. That's so funny. Questions in there.
There's two in there. Yeah, the two big ones. And the first one, we'll do the Trekkie thing. Then we'll get to Sliders because that's the most important thing. But yeah, do you think?
I have to say, my character plays. My wife plays a character who was in the original pilot of Star Trek. I'm getting chills saying this. The original pilot, the unaired pilot, where my character plays a character named Una, who is a number one, who is basically like a Jonathan Frakes. That's her rank, and I don't know if we ever saw in television. It could be different on Deep Space Nine and also in Star Trek literature. I want to apologize to all fans. I'm not caught up on all Star Trek fans.
Nick will keep you honest. Don't worry.
From what I know.
But my wife, I believe her character peaks at number one.
Okay.
I believe it's lieutenant. Or lieutenant commander. I apologize. I think my wife is a lieutenant commander. And I think I am a lieutenant commander. Because my character is new to the canon, I could very well captain my own ship sometime. And my character is so funny. I mean, he's a guy named Ransom. He's like, he would be the person who is always in the HR office. It's a really fun character to play. I play opposite a very funny actress named Tawny Newsom, and Tawny is, sort of like one of these, kids who lives in the lower decks who wants to buck authority, and I'm all about playing everything by the book, and it's so fun to play. So there is no canon regarding how high my character can
anything
go.
Can
so
happen.
I would say my character could possibly captain a ship.
Excellent.
I think it could happen.
There you go.
And Sliders was a sci-fi show I did in the 90s. I had so much fun doing it.
That was fantastic. All right. We were talking about reboots. When we booked you on this, I was like, that's what we're doing. We're starting a hashtag to bring back Sliders. Somehow it's evolved into Kangaroo Jack, but whatever.
I got to say, I do have a call. I've gotten a call from a lot of our cast members. I did call the Peacock Network. I guess their company is Universal. Someone was talking about their parent company and their internet speeds earlier.
We're not naming any names. We're not saying any other companies. We're not going to say anything, Nick. We're not going to say any names, Nick.
That is some good internet. Yeah. It is good internet. But I have put a call into them, and they have not called me back. So I don't know what's happening with that.
So
there could be a reboot. If it is happening, it might be happening without me. I don't own the property,
They couldn't do it without you.
I do have another call into the guy who created it, a guy named Tracy Torme, but I'm not sure that he has the rights to it. He also created a show called Carnival on HBO, if you remember that show.
Sure. Yeah. Well, hold on.
I don't have any updates.
We got to get behind it because it's the Avengers now. You got the DC stuff out there. People understand multiverses now, and the Sliders ahead of its time. You guys jumping through it with the remote control. Every time I hold the remote control, I think about it. How cool that was.
I think about it when I get those little burgers as apps.
You can't escape it. See, you made Sliders big. The appetizers. That was all.
Right. Oh, it is funny. You were talking about earlier, like, what do people recognize you for? Like, do see like sort of a smartly dressed person in their 30s, someone who is like someone who probably works in tech or something, they probably have like expensive clothes on or something and like, expensive Warby Parkers on. they'll like come up to me, and I know it's going to be a slider. They're going to ask about sliders. Because you know, it was about like parallel universes and, you know, quantum physics and all that sort of stuff, and it wasn't whatever the 18,
you know, there was like
always equations that we were talking about and stuff.
It was amazing. Sorry.
It was ahead of never.
Oh, sorry. Hey guys.
Oh, the 5G is finally killing him.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Okay. We love you, Jerry.
hold on a second. Let's figure this out. I'm so ashamed.
No, you did. This is great. Yeah,
we can hear you.
We did the whole show pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting ready to outro. You're fine. You made it to the end. You hit the finish line.
Yeah, that's my kids calling their
need Roblox books.
I gotta take them to my children are failing math.
All right, well, here, let me outro, and then you can go get your kids to math class. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kinda Funny Podcast each and every week, twice a week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to bullshit with each other to bullshit about the bullshit they want to bullshit about. If you like that, you can head over to patreon.com/kindafunny to be part of the show, of course. Have a good time and hang out with us. If you have no bucks to toss our way, though, no big deal. You can go to youtube.com/kindafunny or podcast services around the globe each and every week to get two brand new episodes. Jerry, I want you to know, in the first 5 minutes, you had won over the chat, where it was Demetrius Newell said, Jerry O'Connell is climbing the ranks of my favorite guest so fast, and then Joe Merton said, he is officially my favorite guest. So you killed it, and you're welcome back here anytime. I hope you don't get more work so you have more time to come hang out with us.
Greg, Nick, Andy, engaged one, thank you. First time, long time.
It's been a pleasure, sir. You go out there. You take care of those kids. Where can people keep up with you? Where do you send people to follow all the Jerry shenanigans?
I am, you know what? I'm on Yelp these days. I'm giving like reviews to places. I love reviewing.
Fucking love you, Jerry.
I love reviewing things. I always leave positive reviews. I mean, I know like we were talking about Reddit earlier and people leaving bad reviews.
That's real.
It's my thing. If I go somewhere and like service is good or something's good, I like hit Yelp immediately. So I'm Jerry O'Connell on Yelp.
Okay. And, look for Jerry O'Connell on Yelp.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, I'm on Instagram and Twitter. You know, I follow you guys. I'm
Wait, Jerry O'Connell, I need real quick. You did a Yelp review of Tom Tom, the restaurant?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to read this later. Very excited about this.
Tom Tom, of course, there's those two characters from Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
And I did a really funny thing where I reviewed their restaurant well, but I made all references to like the Bravo Network. It was a really fun thing to do.
I am excited to read this. We'll have to talk about this next time we have you on the show.
Guys, please, let's play some video games. I'm gonna recharge my
I'm gonna text you when this is all done and get your address so Xbox can send you this Xbox and you can make your wife very angry.
It's gonna be perfect. I love it.
Is my one not compatible? It probably needs an update. It's been a little while.
Oh, there's a new generation of Xbox out there, and they want to take care of you. So
we're
going to
get you a better one. It's going to be great.
Love you guys.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Bye, Jerry. Bye.
The O'Connell cut. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, baby.
If you're not coming over to patreon.com/kindafunny for the post show, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.